Welcoming to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to discuss on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, 8th and 9th verse. To give brief introduction of Prabhuji, I'll hand out the call to Praveen Govind Prabhu. Prabhuji, can you take out the call, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. My Namrat Pranams to all the devotees on the call. His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhu is a full-time monk at Gordon Eco Village. He completed his BE in Metallurgical Engineering from NIT, Tiruchirappalli in 2002. Thereafter, he joined Pennsylvania State University and graduated with a PhD in Material Science in 2007. While at Pennsylvania State University, he took to Krishna consciousness as a member of the Vedic Society. He was mentored by His Grace Yugal Kishore Prabhuji. After he moved back to India, he chose to become a full-time monk at Radha Gopinath Mandir. Among others, he was mentored by His Grace Gaurang Prabhuji. In May 2010, he moved to Govardhan Eco Village and has been serving there full-time. He is an extremely erudite scholar on the Vaishnava scriptures and is one of the teachers at Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeeth. He is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us in this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji. Thank you all very much for joining today's discussion on Srimad Bhagavatam. I will just share the screen so that we can continue our discussion. So we'll start with a brief invocation. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunya Vadipas Chatvadesha Tarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So I want to thank you all very much for joining today's discussion, and I would like to extend my gratitude to the Bhakti Sangha organizers for giving me an opportunity to serve by sharing Srimad Bhagavatam. So I seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can speak something which is meaningful and helpful for our own practice of devotional service. So I've been asked to speak on these two verses, 5th canto, 5th chapter, teachings of Lord Rishabhadev to his sons, and 8th and 9th verse. So we will first chant the verse, translation, read the purport, and then we will see what we can learn from these two verses. So I'll chant the verse and read the translation and purport, and then we'll move ahead. So the first verse, 5.5.8. Pumsastriya mituni bhavametam tayor mito hridaya granti mahuhu ato grihakshetra sutapta vittair janasya moho yamaham mameti. Srila Prabhupada's translation. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sex serves as the natural attraction between man and woman, and when they are married, their relationship becomes more involved. Due to the entangling relationship between man and woman, there is a sense of illusion whereby one thinks, this man is my husband or this woman is my wife. This is called Hridaya Granthi, the hard knot in the heart. This knot is very difficult to undo, even though a man and woman separate, either for the principles of Varnashrama, as in the case of when the man takes up to sannyas, or simply to get a divorce. In any case, the man always thinks of the woman and the woman always thinks of the man. Thus, a person becomes materially attached to family, property and children, although all of these are temporary. The possessor unfortunately identifies with his property and wealth. Sometimes, even after renunciation, one becomes attached to a temple or to the few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi. But such attachment is not as strong as family attachment. The attachment to the family is the strongest illusion. In the Satya Samhita, it is said, Brahmadya yajna valkyadya muchyante stri sahayinah bodhyante kechanaitesham vishesham chavido viduhu. Sometimes it is found among exalted personalities like Lord Brahma, and that the wife and children are not a cause of bondage. On the contrary, the wife actually helps further spiritual life and liberation. Nonetheless, most people are bound by the knots of the marital relationship, and consequently they forget their relationship with Krishna. So this is the 8th verse, and we will read the 9th verse also and the purport, and then we will see what we can learn. I'll chant the verse. Yada mano hridaya grantirasya karmanubaddo drida ashlateta tadajana sam parivartate smad mukta paramyati atihaya hetum. When the strong knot in the heart of a person implicated in material life due to the results of past action is slackened, one turns away from his attachment to home, wife and children. In this way, one gives up the basic principle of illusion, that is I and mine, and becomes liberated. Thus, one goes to the transcendental world. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When by associating with sadhus and engaging in devotional service, one is gradually freed from the material conception due to knowledge, practice, and detachment, the knot of attachment in the heart is slackened. Thus, one can get freed from conditional life and become eligible to return home back to Godhead. So, basically, in these two verses, the attachment which can bind one to the material world, and under what situation one can get detached. So that is described in the next verse. So these the problem and the solution have been discussed. So now what we will try to do now is, because this is a very, very important section of Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Lord Rishabhadev, even though not all the verses are meant for practicing devotees. But nevertheless, in conclusion, Srila Rishabhadev gives a very devotional teaching only. If you see the purpose of the descent of Rishabhadev, it is primarily, Laghu Bhagavatamrita says, it is primarily to teach the way of life for those who have accepted the path of Vairagya, which is the Jnanis and Yogis. So that was the primary purpose. So therefore, even in his teachings, even though primarily he has glorified pure devotional service, he has also given the path which other, the Jnana Yogis and Ashtanga Yogis, or those who may primarily practice bhakti, but with a mixture of Jnana, Yoga, etc., how they can practice and achieve liberation, he has given teachings along those lines also. So very important section. So what we will try to do is I will briefly give a recap. I'm sorry, this should be recap and not okay, spelling mistake. Recap of Lord Rishabhdev's initial teachings to his sons. So that's what we will try to do. So, and then when we come to 8th and 9th verse, we will little bit more elaborately discuss. But the first 7 verses also, we will do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. So the first teaching that Srila Rishabhdev gives is the importance of human body. How the human body presents a superior potential to the living entity to make a significant progress, and hence one, it should not be used for material gains. That is the first theme that he discusses. He says, Nayam deho deha bajam riloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbujamye tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam shudyed yasmad brahma saukhyam tvanantam. So he says, deha bajam means a living entity who possesses a body. Na ayam riloke deha arhate. He should not use his human body. For what? Kashtan kaman means enjoying objects which eventually give suffering. That is the nature of the enjoyment available in this. Yehi samsparsha jaboga dukkayonai evate. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Adyanta vanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. The objects of enjoyment of this world they possess the seed of suffering. And then he says, vidbujamye. You don't need a human body to dedicate your life to sense gratification, because that kind of sense gratification is available even in stool eating hogs. Vidbujamye. Therefore, O Putraka, O sons, Tapo Divyam, he says, you should perform austerity for attaining the Lord. Anyway, you have dedicated your life for performing some activities of suffering, right? To get some material enjoyment. Why not perform that austerity for attaining the higher goal of the Supreme Lord? So what happens by that? Yena sattvam shudyet. By such an austerity for attaining the Lord, the heart becomes purified. And when the heart becomes purified, yasmat, from that purified heart, brahma saukhyam to anantam. One gets unlimited happiness. Anantam saukhyam. Unlimited happiness in relationship with the Lord. So, this is the first teaching. He says that don't waste your time in engaging in activities of sense gratification which are available even for the lower species. So the human body is not meant for that kind of waste, right? Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur says, in order to establish bhakti yoga, he first says that material enjoyment should not be practiced as the goal in life for a person with a human body, right? That's what he says. So material enjoyment should not be practiced as the goal. The goal cannot be that, because that is the goal in all the other bodies. So human life is different. One should not have desires which give trouble, such as seeing or touching a woman. Why? Because these desires are available in the lower species also. So that cannot be the goal. Even though that may be an intermediate need in order to stably practice devotional service, that is definitely not denied. But that cannot be the goal. By enjoying material objects, the human body becomes equal to that of the pig. Which means by enjoying only material objects, right? Or or enjoying material objects as the goal of life. So that cannot be. One should strive in the human body for what is not available in the pig's body, right? So in fact, Bhagavatam goes one step higher. It says, Tasyaiva hetoho prayateta kovido nalabhyate yad bhramatam upariyadaha. So he says, don't even aspire for those which is available even in Brahmaloka. Tasyaiva hetohu prayateta kovido. An intelligent person aspires for that which is not available to the living entity by going up and down the 14 planetary systems, including Brahmaloka. Tallabhyate dukkavad anyata sukam kalena sarvatra gabhira ramhasa. These planetary systems can be approached on the strength of one's karma. Right? And chine punya marte lokam vishanti, you will have to come back. But therefore, aspire for that place where having attained, you don't have to come back. You can permanently stay there. Right? Austerity is the distinguishing characteristic of the human. Because other animals, they don't perform voluntary austerity. When they are feeling hungry, they eat. They act according to their, their impulse. Right? They are quite impulsive. So animals are impulsive. But humans are expected to be reflective, right? They should be reflecting about the goal of life and then acting accordingly. However, the trees also perform austerity, not eating, tolerating the rain and sun. You may say that the trees perform much more austerity. So which means, does it mean they will attain self-realization? He says, no. Therefore, such things are excluded by saying that this austerity is related to the Lord. Divyam. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shuddye desmad brahma saukyam tu anantam. If that austerity is not divyam, then it leads to hardening of heart. And by hardening of heart, all bad qualities follow. So therefore he says, tapo divyam, austerity for attaining the Lord, right? So there are so many verses in Bhagavatam which actually talk about the special nature of human body. One very popular verse, Prabhupada also always quotes, Hridehamadyam sulabam sudurlabam plavam sukalpam guru karnadaram mayanukolena nabasvate ritam puman bhavabdim nataretsa atmaha. So he says, Hrideham adyam and sulabam. So he says that this human body is attained easily sometimes by good fortune. Sulabham, easily attained sometimes. But sudurlabham, but it is very rare, right? And it is a plavam sukalpam. It is a perfectly crafted boat or a ship. And who is the captain of that ship? Guru Karanadaram, right? The guru is the captain. And the captain may be there, the perfectly crafted ship may be there, but you need the favorable winds for that ship to move in the right direction, right? Maya anukulena nabasvateritam. Anukulena nabasvateritam. So, the favorable winds are the guidance of the Shastras. Right? Puman bhavabdim nataret sa atmaha. And that person who has all these facilities but still does not cross over the ocean of material existence, sa atmaha, he is a killer of his own soul. So killer of own soul means actually soul cannot be killed, but the point is that the purpose of soul is to It is being the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, it is meant to assist the Supreme Lord in his mission. So when the when an object is not performing its job, it is as good as dead, right? In that sense. So what is tapo divyam for a devotee? Because he says divyam tapa. So what is tapo divyam? In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Bhogadi Tyaga Krishnasya Hetave. Renouncing enjoyment for pleasing Krishna. Which means renouncing that enjoyment which displeases Krishna. Which means you give up something on the principle of Anukulyasya Sankalpo Pratikulyasya Varjanam. In this mood, when we perform bhakti, it makes the heart soft because it is meant for pleasing someone. Even from a material point of view, when a mother or a father sacrifices something for the pleasure of their children, it actually makes their heart very soft because in return they experience the gratitude of the child, the happiness of the child. It makes their heart very soft. But if for one's own selfish purposes, when one performs any kinds of austerities, it makes the heart hard. And practice of bhakti is meant to make the heart soft. And vairagya, when it is not for the pleasure of Krishna, is called as phalgu vairagya. By this phalgu vairagya, the heart becomes very hard. And then progress becomes very slow. Right? So therefore, he quotes a verse from the Padma Puran to indicate, Harim Uddishya Bhogani Kale Tyaktavatastava Vishnu Loka Stita Sampad Alola Sa Pratikshate. So this Vishnu Puran verse says, Bhogani Tyaktavatas, one who gives up enjoyable objects, when Kale, when there is an opportunity to enjoy, one may say that I will give up $1,000,000 for pleasing Krishna. How much are you offered right now? Zero, nothing. So not like that. When someone is actually offered an opportunity to enjoy, and at that time he thinks, oh, this will not be very pleasing to Krishna, and this will not be very pleasing to Guru. So I should not act in such a way that will be displeasing to Krishna and Guru. So Kale, when the opportunity is available, Harim Uddishya, with a desire to please Krishna, Bhogani Tektotas, if one gives up enjoyable objects, then what does he get in return? Alola Sampad, the permanent wealth of Vishnu Loka Stita. The permanent wealth situated in Vishnu Loka, Pratikshate, awaits that person. What is that permanent wealth situated in Vishnu Loka? Vishnu himself, along with Mother Lakshmi, or Radharani himself, along with Krishna. So they are awaiting us. And this kind of giving up the opportunity to enjoy for the pleasure of Krishna is called as Yukta Vairagya. And this makes the heart very soft. So this is what here Srila Rishabhdev is telling as Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Sattvam Shudyed Yasmad Brahma Sokyam Tvanantam. Tapo Divyam Putraka, when you perform this kind of tapa for the pleasure of Krishna, then it leads to progress in Krishna consciousness. Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Sattvam Shudyed, this purifies the heart. Actually, the other kinds of vairagya actually hardens the heart and it does not purify. This is the first teaching that he says is this human life is not meant for just indulging in sense gratification. Rather, engage in austerities for pleasing Krishna. By that, you will progress in spiritual life. Right? So, What is so special about human body is it is the only body in which one can attain liberation, either of the impersonal type or the personal type, through the practice of either jnana or bhakti. So these practices are not possible in any other forms of life. So he says, Mahat sevam dwaram ahor vimuktais tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam mahantaste samachitta prashanta vimanyavas suhridas sadavoye. So it is said, ahuhu mahat sevam dwaram vimuktehe. It is mentioned that through mahat seva, by serving saintly persons, dwaram, it becomes the root cause of vimuktehe. Vimuktehe means vivida mukti, various types of mukti. Okay. While serving the mahat leads to various types of liberation, yoshitam sangi sangam, whereas association with men who associate with women. So, but more contaminating than yoshit sangha or illicit association with the opposite sex is yoshitam sangi sangam, is association with men who associate with women. And that becomes tamodvaram. While one becomes vimuktehe dwaram, mukti dwaram, another thing becomes tamodvaram, the cause of bondage. Te mahantaha. He sees samachitta, he sees no differences, prashanta, and he is peaceful. Whereas the devotee, so both are called as mahanta. So mahanta, if he is a impersonalist, then samachitta means he sees no difference. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane kavi hastini shuni cheva shvapake cha pandita samadarshina. He sees the presence of the same soul in the body of a brahmana, a cow, or an elephant, right? So that is the meaning of samachitta. But what is the meaning of samachitta when it applies to a devotee? Samachitta means he has a sincere heart to please Krishna. That is the meaning of samachitta for a devotee. And the impersonalist is prashanta. Prashanta means peaceful. Why? Because he has no material desires, therefore he is peaceful. But a devotee is also prashanta. Why? Because his intelligence is fixed in Krishna. So therefore he is peaceful. Krishna bhakta nishkama atayeva shanta. So because his intelligence is fixed in Krishna, therefore he is called as prashanta. And both of them are vimanyava. Vimanyava means they are free from anger. Sukhridaha, friendly to all. And sadhava, they do not see fault of others. So therefore he says that the human body is the juncture at which you can decide whether you want to go in the direction of liberation or we want to stay entangled in being bound to this material world. And he says that, so if and the means of attaining liberation is mahat seva. So you should know who is a mahat. A mahat are of two types, the impersonalist and the personalist. The impersonalists are, they see no differences, samachitta, and they are peaceful, prashanta. Whereas the personalist or a devotee, he is also samachitta. He is very sincere. He has a very sincere heart of pleasing Krishna, and his intelligence is fixed in Krishna, prashanta. And both of them are vimanyavas suhridas sadavoye. Both of them are free from anger. They are friendly to all, and they do not see fault in others. Right? So, okay. So now, there are many similar verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. In one verse, which actually it talks about the nature of sadhu sangha and asadhu sangha, right? Similar verses are there. For example, in 3rd canto, 25th chapter, Kapiladev says that. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmanakkavayo viduhu. Sayeva sadhu shukrito mokshadvaram apavritam. So he says, prasangam. Prasangam means bad association. Ajaram pasham. Ajaram means very strong. That which does not become old. It's always new. Ajaram pasham, it's like a rope. Which binds one to the material world. Atmana kavayo viduhu. This is the opinion of the intelligent people. Sa eva, this very same prasanga, satam prasangad mama virya samvido, this same prasanga or strong association. So prasangam means prakrishta rupena sangha. So strong association. So what qualifies strong association? Dadati pratigrinnati. Right? Guhyam. Guhyam akhyati prichati. And bhungte bojete. So these six exchanges is what defines what is prasanga. So if we have these six exchanges, these are Preeti Lakshanam. Symptoms of love. Just coming in touch will not affect. But if we have an emotional connect, a deep attachment through these six exchanges to people who are not devotees, then it binds on to the material world. Sa eva sadhu shikrato. That very same relationship which is nourished by these six exchanges, when it is directed towards the sadhus, moksha dwaram apavritam, the doors of liberation are opened. Right? Another verse, this is Mother Devahuti speaking to Kardama Muni. She says, sangoya samsriter hetur asatsu vihito diya sayeva sadhu shukrito nissangatvaya kalpate. Same meaning. Association with materials done in ignorance is a cause of bondage. Even without knowing that this is bad association, if one may associate with non-devotees, it will have its effect. But sayeva sadhu shukrito, the same association with devotees also, without knowing, not even knowing that these are devotees and if I associate with them, I will progress in my spiritual world, in my spiritual life. Knowing none of that, even in ignorance, if one associates with devotees, it leads to accumulation of agyata sukriti. Right? So, spiritual credits which accumulate to become shraddha. Faith in bhakti, right? Which is the qualification for bhakti. Sayeva sadhu shukrito moksha dwaram apavritam. And this bhakti is what leads to moksha. Like that. So there are many verses which actually talk about, the association of devotees leading to liberation and association of non-devotees leading to bondage in the material world. And in this verse, actually, Rishabhdev also says, who are these mahats? Mahantaste samachitta prashanta vimanyavas suhurdas sadavoye. He talks about various qualities which are possessed by these great personalities. So, but of them, some are primary qualities and some are secondary qualities of sadhu. In Kapiladev, in his teachings, to Mother Devahuti, he mentions Titikshava Karunika Suhrida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhubhushana. He says, Titikshava, they are tolerant. Karunika, they are very merciful. Suhrida Sarvadehinam, they are friendly to all living entities. Ajata Shatrava, they are without enemies. Shantaha, they are very gentle. Sadhava, they are very straightforward. And Sadhubhushana, they consider the sadhus as ornaments, which means they are very respectful in their dealings. So, this Shila, the Acharya said, these are the secondary qualities. These are the secondary qualities of a sadhu. right? Secondary does not mean they are unimportant. Secondary means they gradually follow, right? They gradually follow a sadhu. But what is the primary quality? Kapila Dev tells in the next verse. Mai ananyena bhavena bhaktim kurvanti ye dhridam matkrite tyakta karmanas tyakta swajana bandava. He says, ye kurvanti mai dhridam bhaktim. Their primary qualification is that they practice steady bhakti. So steady bhakti means nishta. When nishta is there, then all these other qualities, titikshava, karunika, suhrida, sarvadehinam, ajata, shatrava, shanta, sadhavo, sadhubhushana, they follow. But before nishta, these qualities may not necessarily be there. That's what Bhagavatam says, right? Shrinmatam swakata krishna punya shravana kirtanam hridyantastohi abhadrani vidunoti suhritsatam. So shrinvatam swakata, right? Shrinvatam indicates bhajana kriya, right? Hridyantastohi abhadrani. Abhadrani vidunoti. Right? It destroys all the unfavorable anarthas in the heart. So this is anarthanivritti. Right? So this is one. This is two. Then he says, Nashta prayesho abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. When almost all anarthas are gone, he says, Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. This is Nishta. What is the stage of this Nishta? He says, Tada Rajastamo Bhava Kamaloba Jesche Chetete Ranamadam Stitam Satve Prasidati. So there is Rajas and Tamas are subdued and Sattva becomes more prominent at the stage of Nishta. So therefore, when Rajas and Tamas go down, all bad qualities are gone. And when Sattva increases, all good qualities increase. Right? So therefore, Kurvanti ye mayi dridam bhaktim. When their practice of bhakti becomes very steady, so unsteadiness, when the unsteadiness caused due to rajas and tamas is gone, the nature of sattva is steadiness. So when their bhakti becomes very steady, then they very clearly show these qualities. Titikshava, karunika, suhrida, sarvadehina. So basically, the engine is that pulls is this primary quality of bhakti. So when the engine, you see, let's say the train has like 26 bogies. So the 26 bogies are the 26 qualities, let's say. The engine is Mai Ananyena Bhavena Bhaktim Kurvanti Ye Dridam. Ananya Bhakti. Ananya Bhavena Bhaktim Kurvanti. Exclusive devotion to Krishna is the primary quality. That is like the engine. When that one comes, then subsequently the other bogies one by one will come. So one should not say, you said there are 26 bogies, I am seeing only the engine. You have seen the engine, na? So be rest assured that the 26 bogies will follow after the engine. Right? So, matkrite tyakta karmana. Matkrite tyakta karmana means, in order to perform bhakti, they give up karma, jnana, yoga, etc. So they give up faith in all these things and they have faith only in bhakti. Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hai. Only faith in bhakti. That is the meaning of mat kritiye tyakta karmanas. Right? Tyakta swajana bandava. They give up all friends and relatives. Does it mean that those who stay in touch with their friends and relatives are not devotees? No. The point is, the principle is Anukulyasya sankalpo प्रातिकूल्यस्य वर्जनम्. With that principle, they give up. If it is unfavorable, they give up. If it is favorable, they don't necessarily have to give up. Right? So now, how this Mahat Seva benefits and opens the door for liberation is described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shushrushoho Shraddhadanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchihi Syat Mahat Sevaya Vipraha Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. You all know this very famous verse. So where it is mentioned, Suta Goswami says, Vasudeva Kata Ruchihi Mahat Sevaya Syat. So Mahat Seva, he says, leads to Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. Right? So which means attraction to topics concerning Krishna. Right? So he says, followed by Shraddhadanasya faith. Right? And then followed by Punyatirtha Nishevanat. Punyatirtha Nishevanat means it refers to So, Punya Tirtha Nishevana is surrendered to the lotus feet of a pure guru. This indicates Sadhu Sangha. And then he says, then comes Shushrushoho, desire to hear. So, this Srila Vishwanatha Thakur calls as Bhajaneshu Spriha. Okay, so actually the acharyas explain that before Mahat Seva comes Satam Kripa. So first the devotee becomes very compassionately disposed towards that person. How nice it would be if this person becomes a devotee. Then he engages him in some favorable service. Mahat Seva. Mahat Seva. And by that Mahat Seva, gradually he accumulates what is called as Agyata Sukriti. Agyata Sukriti means favorable experiences in bhakti, which helps him develop some attraction towards, as it is mentioned here, Vasudeva Kata Ruchihi, attraction to Vasudeva Kata. And when this gets accumulated over many lifetimes, it leads to what is called as Shraddha. Faith in devotional service. Then the symptom of that faith in devotional service is Punya Tirtha Nishevana, a desire for Sadhu Sangha and a desire to surrender to a guru and accept initiation. And followed by this is desire to practice bhakti, Bhajaneshu Spruha, which starts with hearing. And then comes Bhajanakriya. Then comes Anarthanurti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema, and then he goes and becomes an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the way in which Mahat Seva, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahor Vimukte. How does the door for liberation opens to Mahat Seva? This verse very nicely explains. This and the subsequent verses, they explain like that. So this is the second teaching, how human life is the crucial juncture at which you can either choose the path of liberation or the path of bondage. So Mahat Seva leads to liberation and Asadhu Sangha leads to bondage. Then we saw that there are two kinds of Mahanta, the impersonalist and the personalist. The next verse he says, who is better amongst the two? Srila Rishabhdev says, Yeva Mayishe Krita Sauhridartha Janeshu deham baravartikeshu griheshu jayat majarati matsu na priti yukta yavadartas chaloke. So he says, ye, those devotees, maya krita sauhrida artha. Artha means goal. What is their goal? Goal? Maya krita sauhrida. A deep loving relationship with Krishna is their goal. Yeva mayishe krita sauhurdartha. So, who am I? Ishe. I am the Lord. They have made their goal of life affection for me, the Lord. So, therefore, their preeti is for me. Na preeti yukta, and they do not show preeti to people who are dehambaravartikeshu. So, they don't have attraction to spend time and enjoy with people who enjoy talks about people attached to eating and drinking. Griheshu jaya atmaja ratimatsu, and they do not have attachment to those who are attached to houses, wives, sons and wealth. They are attached only to devotees. Yavadartha aschaloke, so what do they do? Do they have any social life at all? He says, they remain in their houses simply to spend their money on glorifying the Lord. Yavadartha aschaloke, whatever is needed to keep Krishna, the deities at home happy, they are happy doing that. Whatever is needed. That is the way. So, of the two, he says the devotee is best. Who is devotee? Whose goal is to establish a relationship with Krishna. And such people do not enjoy non-devotee association. Right? So, what is this yavad arthascha loke? Yavad arthascha loke means, what does it mean to actually remain in the houses simply to spend their money on glorifying the Lord? Actually, Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Sam Sindhu, he says, he quotes from Naradiya Puran and he says, Yavad Artha Anuvartita, he calls it in Bhakti Sam Sindhu. So he says, Yavatasyatsva Nirvahaha Svikuryatavadartavit Adikye Nyonatayamcha Javate Paramartataha. He says, Artavit. A person who has wisdom concerning material objects, tavat svikuryat, he accepts only that much which is needed, yavata syat svanirvaha, only as much as necessary for maintenance of his bhakti. His bhakti means his bhakti, his family's bhakti, right? Adikye nyunatayamcha, by accepting either more or less, Chavate paramartataha, he will fail to attain his goal of establishing a relationship with bhakti. Right? So one should understand that it may vary from person to person, from family to family actually. One may personally need less, but his family may need more. Because the seed of devotional service is actually individually planted or individually sown, individually watered, it individually grows, and it individually attains the lotus feet of Krishna. It is not a family seed. One seed per family. No. It is one seed per person. And every person individually has to nourish that seed, protect that seed, water that seed, and ensure that it reaches the lotus feet of Krishna. So therefore, one may himself not need much for maintaining his bhakti, but his family members may be at different levels of their own devotional growth, or some may not even have taken up to devotional service. So therefore, one has to do the needful. So the application of this principle has a very broad scope. You know, it's not a very narrow thing. So it's not like whoever earns the least salary, he is the most advanced devotee. You know, that such kind of conclusions we cannot come to. Everyone's situation is very individual like that. So this is the third lesson that he says, that of the two categories of people, impersonalists and personalists, the personalist is the best because eva mayishe krita sauhrudartha, because for him the goal of life is to establish a relationship with me, right? On the other hand, if one becomes inattentive to bhakti, then he keeps roaming in the cycle of samsara. That's what he says in the next verse. Nonam pramatta kurute vikarma yadindriya pritaya aprunoti nasadumanye yata atmanoyam asannapi kleshada asa dehaha. He says, on the other hand, pramatto atmanah. Pramatta is inattentive. If one is inattentive jiva, then what happens? He is inattentive to what? Inattentive to bhakti. If he is inattentive to bhakti, not willing to perform bhakti, then indriya pritaya aprunuti. He becomes absorbed in actions for pleasure of the senses. Basically, the strength to actually remove the senses from sense gratification comes only from one's practice of bhakti. So if one is inattentive to practice of bhakti, then he naturally becomes absorbed in sense gratification. Noonam, and he certainly kurute vikarma. He engages in sinful activities. Yata, by such an engagement in sinful activities, dehaha, he receives another body. And what is the nature of human material body? Kleshada, it gives suffering. Asad api, even though the living entity has nothing to do with having a material body, asangohi ayam purushaha, the living entity has nothing to do with matter, nothing to do with material body. So even though the material body does not belong to him, it is like a person committing suicide out of when he sees his Mercedes Benz being smashed by another bigger vehicle. He commits suicide. Only later one comes to know that it was not his car, it was someone else's car. The car itself does not belong to him. Asan api kleshada asadeha. Even though the body does not actually belong to the living entity, but the living entity can experience profound suffering due to identification with the body. So therefore, if one is inattentive to the practice of bhakti, one becomes absorbed in actions for the pleasure of senses and thus engage in sins, and that sin will perpetuate his punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatare shayanam. Iha samsare bahudustare kripayapare pahi murare, as Shankaracharya says. So, iha samsare bahudustare, then it becomes very difficult to cross over the ocean of material existence. So, therefore, kripaya pare pahi murare, only murari or bhakti towards Lord Murari can save one. Na sadhu manye, he says, this is useless waste of this human body. One should become attentive to one's practice of devotional service. This is the fourth instruction that Srila Rishabhadev tells, right? So, in Shastra, there is ample proof for how actually sense control is impossible even for great jnanis if he is devoid of bhakti. If it is not possible, if they don't practice bhakti, it is not possible for them to control their senses. So, Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna asked Krishna, Stitak pragyasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava, Sthitadir kim prabhasheta kim asita vrajeta kim. He says, my dear Krishna, how does a self-realized soul, what are his symptoms? How does he control his senses? How does he engage his senses? What is his general behavior like that? And Krishna says that tani sarvani sanyamya yukta asita matpara. Vashehi yasyendriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. He says, the yogi matpara, who is devoted to me, this is the most important point. The yogi who is devoted to me, tani sarvani sanyamya, after restraining all the senses, asita, he can remain non-responsive to the sense objects. It is possible. Vashehi yasya indriyani, because he has gained control over all his senses. Tasya pragya pratishtita. He is asthita pragya. Right? So, this is quoted by Krishna in Uddhava Gita also. This is quoted by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. In Uddhava Gita also, Krishna says that only a devotee can control his senses. He says, prayasha pundarikaksha yunjato yogino manaha విషీదంతి అసమాధానం మనో నిగ్రహకర్షిత అథాత ఆనందదుగం పదాంబుజం హంసాహ శ్రయేరన్. హి సేస్ ఓ లోటస్ ఐడ్ లార్డ్, దిస్ ఇస్ ఉద్ధవ స్పీకింగ్ టు కృష్ణ, ప్రాయశః జనరలీ
హరే కృష్ణ ఐ గోట్ డిస్కనెక్టెడ్ ఆర్ ప్రభుజీ గోట్ డిస్కనెక్టెడ్?
హరే కృష్ణ మాతాజీ, ఐ గెస్ ప్రభుజీ గోట్ డిస్కనెక్టెడ్.
యా, ఐ వాస్ లైక్ లిటిల్ బిట్ కన్ఫ్యూజ్డ్, మేబీ మై కనెక్షన్. ఓకే ఓకే మామ్,
వి కెన్ హియర్ యు.
యా ఐ థింక్ ప్రభుజీ విల్ బి బ్యాక్. వి కెన్ స్టిల్ సీ హిస్ పిపిటి. ఓ నౌ ఇట్స్ గాన్. ఓకే,
ఆ దేర్ హి ఇస్.
ఐ యామ్ సారీ.
సారీ, యా
I'll just share the screen again. So therefore, here it is mentioned that therefore swan like men, so swan like men happily take shelter of your lotus feet, the source of all transcendental ecstasy. Otherwise the gyanis and yogis, they may try their best to control their senses, but it is impossible. That's what he says. Krishna also says here, yukta asita matpara. If one is devoted to Krishna, it becomes very easy to control the senses, because the senses get a favorable engagement. You are not just trying to stop your senses from action, they get favorable engagement, right? If one does not fix their mind on Krishna, for non-devotees or for those jnanis who do not try to engage their senses in devotional service, dhyayato vishayan pumsah sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kamah kamat krodho bijayate. So if their mind is not fixed on Krishna, then vishayan dhyayato, they will start meditating on sense objects, and from that sangah teshu upajayate, from that meditation on sense objects they become attached, right? And from attachment arises lust, and from lust, when not satisfied, it leads to anger. Then krodhat bhavati sammoha, sammohat smriti vibhrama, smriti bhramshat buddhi nasho, buddhi nashat pranashyati, like that. So then the whole series of fall down happens. So the point is that even for those, Baldevidya Bhushan writes, who have controlled the senses, if they do not direct their minds to me, it is inevitable that calamities will again arise. This is expressed in two verses. So one may have a capacity to control the senses, but if the mind is not directed towards Krishna, that it is inevitable that they will fall down like that, right? So that is the fourth teaching, right? So which is the fourth teaching was if one is inattentive to bhakti, then he keeps roaming in the cycle of samsara. Okay, so he says nunam pramatta kurute vikarma yad indriya pritaya aprunoti na sadu manye yata atmanoyam asannapi kleshada ashadeha. If one is inattentive to bhakti, then he performs sinful actions. If he performs sinful actions, then his place in samsara gets perpetrated, you know. So now the question arises is that if engaging in sinful activities is going to perpetrate my bondage, then I will engage in pious activities and achieve liberation. Someone may say, if you say sinful activity is going to lead to bondage, then I will perform pious activities and attain liberation. So Kapila Dev, Rishabh Dev says, పరాభవస్తావదబోధ జాతో యావన్న జిజ్ఞాసత ఆత్మతత్వం యావత్ క్రియాస్తావది ఇదం మనో వై కర్మాత్మకం యేన శరీర బంధః. హి సేస్ యావత్ న జిజ్ఞాసత ఆత్మతత్వం, యాస్ లాంగ్ యాస్ ద జీవా డస్ నాట్ ఇన్క్వైర్ అబౌట్ ద ఆత్మ, తావద్ టిల్ దెన్ abodajatah. He remains in bondage. This tavat parabhavah. He becomes defeated. He remains in bondage created by ignorance. Yavat kriyas tavat idam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandhah. As long as one performs pious and sinful actions, pious actions also binds a living entity to this material world. Tavat idam manovai karmatmakam. The mind remains absorbed in action, either in pious or impious, and both bind one to this material world. Right? So, proof of how even material piety also binds one to this material world. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in a series of verses in the second chapter, he says that Durena hi avaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya buddhau sharanam anvicha kripanaha falahetava. He says, my dear Arjuna, Durena hi avaram karma. Please give up this inferior activity. What is inferior activity? Falahetava karma. Performing activity for getting piety by which you can enjoy some material benefits. So he says, falahetava karma, give it up. Do it, keep it far away. Buddhi yoga, by performing detached nishkama karma yoga, he says. And he says, kripanaha falahetava. One who performs falahetava karma is a miser, he says. And then he says, buddhi yukto jahatiha ube sukrita dushkrite tasmat yogaya yujyasva yoga karma sukaushalam. He says, buddhi yukto, if you are engaged in nishkama karma yoga, where you are detached from both piety and impiety, jahati iha, he destroys ube, both sukrita dushkrite, both pious and impious reactions are destroyed. And what happens by destroying pious and impious reactions? He says, padam gacchanti anamayam. One attains the place of no suffering. But if one does not give up activities which for generating piety, then that one has to take birth again to enjoy in this material world. Like that, he says. So even piety binds, so one should not be attached to living a pious, non-Krishna conscious life. And then he says, parabhavastavat abodajato yavanna jigyasata atmatattvam. He says that only by living a pious life, it is not sufficient. You have to inquire about atma. Then the question arises, so does one achieve liberation just by inquiry into atma? So Rishabhdev says, evam manakarma vasham prayunkte avidyayatmanyupadiyamane pritirna yavan maivasudeve namuchyate deha yogena tavat. He says, evam manah karma vasham. The mind will be fixed in the impressions that have been, material impressions which are there in the mind, and which will push the person to engage in material actions. Atmani prayunkte avidya. In this way, the living entity will be engaged in acting according to their material vasanas. Upadiyamane, having accepted a subtle body. Yavad na pritir mai vasudeve. As long as one does not develop devotion towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, tavad na mucheta deha yogena, then it is not possible to be liberated from the body. So just by inquiry into the atma will not lead to liberation. Actually, one has to develop a devotional attitude towards Vasudeva and start worshipping Vasudeva. That's what he says. Proof of how liberation will have to wait till bhakti manifests. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, right, brahma bhuta prasannatma nashochati nakankshati samas sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labate param. Right, so he says, brahma bhuta prasannatma nashochati nakankshati samas sarveshu bhuteshu. So brahma bhuta, he has attained the stage of Brahman. So these are the qualifications of a Jeevan Mukta Gyani, Gyana Yogi. A Gyana Yogi who is at the verge of attaining liberation. So, na shochati na kangshati, he does not lament for the loss of anything and he does not become very excited about gaining anything. And he is samas sarveshu bhuteshu, he is equipoise, he is equal to all. And at that time, when the Jnana Yogi is ready to attain mukti, actually what is recommended is that he should give up the limbs of Jnana. He should give up the limbs of Jnana. So if he gives up the limbs of Jnana, why? Because liberation is beyond three modes. The limbs of Jnana are within three modes. It is Sattvaguni. So which is beyond three modes? Only Bhakti is beyond three modes. So therefore, a Jnana Yogi performs Jnana plus Bhakti. Okay. So there are some limbs of Bhakti, there are some limbs of Jnana, even though Jnana is predominant. Right? But the limbs of Jnana are within three modes. Okay, and Bhakti is beyond three modes. And Brahman, which they are aspiring for, beyond three modes. So if they have to attain something which is beyond three modes, then they cannot attain it while performing activities which are within three modes. So they have to give it up. So this is mentioned in Bhagavatam. Jnanam cha mayi sanyaset. It is mentioned in Uddhava Gita, Krishna tells to Uddhava that one should give up the path of Jnana or the limb of Jnana. When a Jnana Yogi becomes ready for liberation, at that time he should give up the limbs of Jnana, and what remains is Mad Bhaktim Labate Param. Only pure Bhakti remains. But that pure Bhakti is very weak. It is not solid like for a devotee. It is very weak and porous because it has been predominated by Jnana. But nevertheless, it is pure Bhakti. And he says, Bhaktya, by that Bhakti, Mam Abhijanati, one can understand me, Yavan Yaschasmi Tattvatah, one can understand me in truth, Tato Mam Tattvato Gyatvan, having understood me in truth, Vishate Tadanantaram, one can attain the one can merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti and attain liberation. So even for Jnana Yogi, it is necessary that they give up that Jnana and practice at the last stage, practice only pure Bhakti. So only by Bhakti can, only by pure Bhakti can one attain liberation. Similarly, the practicing Ashtanga Yogi should also give up the limbs of Ashtanga Yoga at the time of liberation. And what remains is only the weak, porous but pure Bhakti. Right? So that's what here he says. Preetindna yavan mai vasudeve namuchyate deha yogena tavat. Till that person develops devotion for Vasudev, it is not possible for him to be liberated from material bondage. This is the sixth lesson that he says. Now the question arises is, what is the symptom of a person who is ready for liberation by accepting such a process? What are the symptoms of such a Jeevan Mukta? A person who is ready for liberation. So Rishabhdev says, Yada na pashyat yayata guneham swarte pramattas sahasa vipaschit gata smritir vindati tatra tapan asadya maitunya magara magyaha. So he says, Yada vipaschit, when the wise man na pashyati, he does not see guna iham, that guna is things of this material world which are made of the three gunas. Iham means desire. When the wise man does not see the desires for sense objects, ayata, as useless, agnyaha pramatta, he becomes a fool. But when he sees very clearly that endeavor to enjoy things of this world is a useless endeavor, then he becomes qualified for liberation. Sahasa sva artha arte gata smritihi. So when he is not yet convinced that endeavor to enjoy sense objects of this world is a useless endeavor, then he immediately forgets his true nature, and asadhya maitunya magaram, he attains a house meant for sexual pleasure, vindati tatra tapan, and experiences extreme suffering, right? So the symptom of the qualification for bhakti, qualification for liberation, is that he is very convinced that there is nothing in this world which is worth pursuing. So this, there is lot of proof for this in the scriptures. In Bhagavad Gita, again, talking about the general symptoms of a sthita pragya, in the second chapter only, Krishna says, prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmanyev atmana tushtah sthita pragyastadochyate. So he says, yada prajahati, prajahati means he completely gives up sarvan manogatan kaman, all desires which arise from the mind alone. He does not give up those desires which arise from the soul, which is the desire to serve Krishna, the desire to achieve liberation. Those are the desires which are born out of the soul. He does not give up. But manogatan kaman, desires which are born out of mind alone due to past impressions of happiness or distress, he gives that up. Atmanyeva atmana tushtaha, he is completely satisfied with the soul alone. Stita pragya statochate, he is called a stita pragya. And so many other verses in the third chapter also. Yastu atmaratireva syad atmatruptascha manava atmanyeva isantushto tasya karyam na vidyate, like that. So these are symptoms of a person who is qualified for liberation, who finds satisfaction only in the atma. Naivatasya kritenartho nakriteneha kaschana nachasya sarvabhuteshu kaschit artyavapashrayah. He says, he does not gain anything by performance of action, and nor does he lose anything by non-performance of action. For him, nothing in this world is worthy for pursuing, for fulfilling his desires. Which means he is convinced that he cannot become happy by pursuing things of this material world. So that conviction is what makes him qualified for achieving liberation. Right? So now, this is 7 verses. Now 8th verse. So he says, asadhya maitunya magaram. So when he is not convinced that it is not worth pursuing anything of this material world, then what happens? He engages in sense gratification, and for that he gets a house in which he can enjoy sex pleasures. Now someone may say, "Arey, there are so many different types of enjoyment. Why are you specifically targeting sex attachment?" So Rishabh Dev says, Pumsastriya mituni bhava metam tayor mito hridaya granti mahohu ato griha kshetra sutapta vittair janasya moho yamaham mameti. So he says, Pumsastriya tayoho mituni bhavam. The relationship between a man and woman, mito hridaya grantim ahuhu, it is called double bondage. Double bondage means, even though this is a type of knot in which even from your side, when you cut the knot, still the connection is not gone when the other person does not cut it, right? So because the two persons are very conscious persons, so one may give up attachment, but if the other person is still attached, then this person feels the force of attachment from the other person. Ato janasya moha. So this attachment creates illusion for the jiva. Griha kshetra suta apta vittaihi. So this one attachment to the opposite sex leads to attachment to house, property, sons, relatives, wealth, etc. Aham mameti, and the concept of ahankar and mamakar becomes very, very strong. Right? So, now, if you see, if one is not attached to a family but identifies as one's possessions, one's clothing, chair and utensils, the bondage is not so great, since there is no mutual bondage, right? The house, if one gets attached to one's cloth, the cloth has no attachment to the person because it's an inanimate object, right? So, of course, here Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur says this is not just attachment between man and woman. This is also the knot tied between father and son is also implied, which means other relationships between people is also involved. Even though the son may become detached from the father, but the father does not give up that attachment to the son like that. But of course, this mutual attachment is strongest when it exists between the man and woman, right? And there are so many sections of Srimad Bhagavatam where sex attachment is established to be the supreme impediment for both men and women, not just men, but for both men and women. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev, while discussing, he says, Yadi asadbihi pati punaha shishnodara krutodyamaihi astito ramate jantus tamo vishati purvavat. So he talks about how the living entity may suffer in hell, and finally, after going through many, many animal bodies, finally he may again get an opportunity to get a human birth. So he says, if Shishna Udara Krita Udyamaihi, if even that opportunity he uses for satisfying the genitals and stomach, then he enters hell as before. So why this happens? Due to asadbihi astitaha, due to associating with sinful persons. So when one associates with asadu, in asadu sangha, one becomes attached in this way. And by that, what happens? One loses truth, cleanliness, mercy, silence, intelligence, and all good qualities are lost in that association of devotees. So what is asadu sangha? He says, ashanteshu, first type. Ashanteshu means one who is a very violent person. Moodeshu means foolish people. Kandita atmasu means those who by engaging in material pursuits are just wasting their human form of life. And asadushu means plain outright sinful people. And then he says shocheshu. Shocheshu means lamentable people who are living lamentable lives. And sixth is yoshit krida mrgeshu cha. Those who are completely become controlled by the opposite sex. So he says these six categories of people are asatsanga. But he says, of these six types, natatasya bhaven moho bandas chanya prasangatah yoshit sangadya tapumso yata tatsangi sangatah. Man's bondage and bewilderment is not due to attachment to objects as much as it is due to his association with women and to his association with men who associate with women. So this is very powerful. So of the six types of, the acharyas explain, of the six types of bad association, this is said to be a very powerful, especially if the other person is not inclined towards spirituality. And he gives the example of even Brahmaji. Even great personalities are not spared due to association of opposite sex, right? And he says, Tat srishta srishta srishteshu kon vakandita deepuman Rishim Narayanam Rute Yoshin Mayeha Mayaya. Among the sons of Brahma, except for those who are attached to worshipping Narayana, everyone is affected by the Maya in the form of woman. Devotees, even though they may fall trapped to the lures of material enjoyment, on the strength of their attachment to Krishna, Krishna ensures that he loosens all those attachments like that. And then there are so many other verses which says how the woman actually traps the man, and in the same way, the association of a man is also not very favorable for a woman, especially if it is not Krishna conscious, like that it is mentioned. Now finally, the ninth verse. So what is the way of getting out? Of this material bondage, which comes especially in the form of attraction for the opposite sex? In the ninth verse, he says, Yada mano hridaya grantirasya कर्मानुबद्धो दृढ आश्लतेत तदा जनसं परिवर्तते स्मात् मुक्त परम याति अतिहाय हेतुम्। यदा अस्य मनो हृदय ग्रंथि व्हेन द नॉट इन द हार्ट और माइंड कर्म दृढ अनुबद्धो इट इज टाइड टाइटली बाय कर्मास। कर्मास हियर्स रेफर्स टू वासनास और मटेरियल इंप्रेशंस, right? So when the knot in the heart or mind is tied tightly by karmas, ashlateta, it has to become loose or cut. Tada, at that point of time, janaha, that person, asmat samparivartate, he becomes free from the bondage between man and woman. For him, the vasanas or the material impressions of enjoying with matter, and especially woman or man for the woman and woman for the man, when it becomes loose, then he can give up, become free. Atihaya hetum, at that point of time, he can give up his ahankara and he becomes liberated, muktaha, and paramyati, he attains the supreme abode, like that, right? So the last theme that we will discuss and end today's discussion, let me just check what the time is. It's okay, yeah, in another 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, I'll try to complete this section, right? So he says, understanding the nature of this hridaya granthi. What is this hridaya granthi? Because ultimately that is what is binding us to this material world. So this is a very important theme which we will try to understand in the next few slides, right? So in Bhagavatam there is a description of, you must have heard this many times, the 5 levels of ignorance, are the 5 types of ignorance, right? Avidya, Asmita, Raga, Dvesha, and Abhinivesh, right? So I will give a brief description. So avidya means vasanas or material impressions, okay? And Asmita means asmi means I am, ta means the feeling of I am, which means identifying with the body. So we have many material impressions which push us to act in particular ways. Like when I see a rasgulla, immediately I start salivating, because previously I have had an experience of eating rasgulla and I liked it. Therefore, as soon as I look at it, I start salivating. But let's, for theory's sake, assume that in our previous lives, in my previous life, I was a cow, okay, and it was Nirjal Ekadashi previous day, so I fasted completely, and next day I have early morning goshala service. I am serving the goshala. I am feeling extremely hungry, and remember, I was a cow in my previous life, and I am feeding fresh juicy green grass to the cows, and I am feeling extremely hungry, and it is time to break the fast. Do you think I will try to pacify my hunger by eating that juicy green grass? No. So actually I might even die out of hunger, but I will not try to pacify my hunger by eating that fresh juicy green grass, because this asmita feature, what it does is it shields all non-human vasanas, so that I can perfectly identify with this body alone, right? I can perfectly identify with this body. So Asmita does that. So even though I was a cow in my previous life, I will not try to eat that fresh green grass, because that impression of enjoying fresh green grass has been shielded by Asmita, so that asmi, aham manushyosmi, I can perfectly identify with my human form only. Then this avidya or material impressions, it could be a favorable impression, then it leads to attachment, or it could be an unfavorable impression, in which case it will lead to hatred, dvesha, raga and dvesha. And this raga and dvesha will not remain as raga and dvesha, it will become abhinivesh, Abhinivesh means deep absorption. Whatever I like, I want to enjoy it to the fullest. And whatever I dislike, I want to somehow avoid it to the fullest. Right? So if you see, actually, what binds one to this material world is not sense objects, but what binds one to the material world is actually emotions. Right? So this is what binds us to the material world. So now, how these emotions are created, and how we can evaporate these material emotions so that we can progress towards liberation, right? So our heart houses four internal organs. They are called as chitta, buddhi, mana, and ahankar, or false ego. So as soon as our senses come in touch with sense objects, let's say I like samosa. So as soon as I look at samosa, you know, someone is coming to serve samosa, and as soon as I look at samosa, immediately I start getting excited. I look at it, the next second I am smiling and my mouth is open and salivating, right? So this may take 1 second, right? Maybe even less than that. The moment I look at the samosa and I start smiling. But what happens in between? How is this joyful emotion created? Okay, that's what this is. Kapiladev describes this in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where he says, as soon as I look at that samosa, immediately chitta, the role of chitta is awareness of a familiar stimulus. As soon as I look at the samosa, because the chitta is connected to past vasanas, past experience, it checks the file and he says, some familiar stimulus, something is trying to catch my attention, like that. Immediately, buddhi is activated. Find out what it is. So buddhi goes back to the database. So it checks the past impressions and it says, oh, it is a samosa and it is so fragrant and it is going to land in your plate. So it collects all the details, right? And then mind gets activated. Mind also has access to the vasanas, but it has access to the emotions, right? So what was the feeling when the last time I came in touch with a samosa? So joyful emotions, whatever. And then immediately the false ego connects the emotion to the self. How did I feel the last time I ate a samosa? I felt very joyful. Oh, and now I'm going to eat this samosa and I'm going to feel very joyful. As soon as I imagine that, immediately I start smiling. So in this way, this chitta, buddhi, mana and ahankar, they are like the central processing unit, CPU. They act in conjunction with each other and in conjunction with the past vasanas, and they generate these emotions, and these emotions bind one to the material world. Right? Okay. So, of course, there is a... So this actually generates this raga, dvesha and abhinivesh. So this raga, dvesha and abhinivesh. Abhinivesh means absorption in raga or dvesha. Raga abhinivesh, dvesha abhinivesh. This is created. There is an interesting experiment that was conducted by a Russian scientist called Pavlov. Maybe some other time we will discuss this. We don't have time. So Krishna discusses this point of how these material emotions bind one to the material world. In 3 verses, we will end this discussion. So he says in 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudoyam nabijanati lokoma majamavyayam. So he says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. My dear Arjuna, no one can see me, no one can understand me because I am covered by the curtain of yogamaya. Now, what is the nature of this curtain? He says, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mamtu vedana kaschana. my dear Arjuna, this curtain covers only, this covers you from taking darshan of me and attaining me, but I can see you clearly through this darshan, through this curtain. It's just like a, you know, the tinted glass from which, you know, the person sitting inside the car can see outside, but the person outside the car cannot see who is sitting inside, like that. He says it's a one-way curtain, I can see and you cannot see. So what is this curtain made of? Is it made of wool? It is made of polyester? Is it made of cotton? What is this curtain made of which is covering the living entity from seeing Krishna? He says in the next verse, Icha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. He says Icha refers to raga, dvesha is dvesha, samuttena. Since the beginning, since the starting of creation, sarva bhutani, all the living entities, sammoham yanti. Sammoham means intense bewilderment. What is this intense bewilderment? Intense absorption. Intense absorption in raga and dvesha. So therefore, Icha dvesha samuttena. So he says the curtain is not a physical curtain. The curtain is raga, dvesha and abhinivesh. It is just the curtain of past vasanas, past impressions of enjoyment. And the past impression of enjoyment is creating likes and dislikes. And the like becomes intense absorption for attaining the like and intense aversion from suffering, wanting to avoid that one dislikes. So by this intense absorption in likes and dislikes, one does not see Krishna. Like I remember once I had visited my cousin brother, and he was very eager to speak with me. He was also very spiritually inclined. And when I was there, my cousin brother has two small children, Raghav and Achyut. So very small. At that time, they were very small. Now they have a little bit grown up. So they were not allowing, they were such powerful attention seekers that they were not allowing, both of us to have a good conversation. So we tried, we said, go and sit with Amma, go and sit with Grandma and all, nothing worked. So finally my brother put his hands on both his pockets, removed two smartphones, slapped it in their hands and he said, okay, go. The moment they got the smartphones, they just vanished the next second. They went and sat at one corners, two different corners, and they were just browsing. Raga binivesh, dvesha binivesh. So I like this. After some time, it's boring. Go to the next site, next site, next site, next site, like that. And then we spoke for 2 hours. And 2 hours, the children were not creating even a small disturbance. After 2 hours, then it was time for me to leave. And I wanted to greet the children before I went. So, father is calling, Achyut, Raghava, Achyut, Raghava, and they are not hearing only. So, the father is able to see the children. But the curtain of Yogamaya is covering the children, right? So, Ragadvesha, 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 and they are not able to see. So, this is actually way before these smartphone companies created this. Krishna actually has created the same kind of curtain for shielding the living entities from Krishna. So, what is the solution? How we can overcome this Hridaya Granthi? That is the final thing, right? Krishna says, Esham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam. Te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante maam dridavrataha. So he says, Esham tu, but those people who have antagatam papam. Papam here does not refer to just sins. Papam here refers to vasanas or avidya. So those who wipe out these vasanas or material impressions, how? He says punya karmanam. Punya karma can mean pious actions, but here it actually means pleasing actions. So, pleasing actions means actions which are pleasing to Krishna and the great sadhus, which means here it refers to devotional service. Yesham to antagatam papam, those who wipe out the past material impressions by practice of devotional service, what happens? Te dvandva moha nirmukta, they will overcome the influence of raga and dvesha. And then what happens? Drid mam dridavrata bhajante, they worship me with steadiness, steady worship. Steady worship leads to achieving Krishna. So therefore, what it means is, yesham, so he says, punya karma, which means devotional service, indicates bhajana kriya. Leads to what? Antagatam papam. This refers to anartha nivritti. So then comes dridavrata bhajana. Steady devotional service, which is nishta. Then nishta leads to ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema, and then association with Krishna. So this is what this verse says. So eventually, by practice of devotional service, your past material impressions are wiped out, which is called as anarthana vritti, and by that one can perform steady devotional service. When that steady devotional service continues over ruchi, asakti, bhava, and prema, then not only is Krishna revealed, but one's relationship with Krishna is also revealed, and one gets actually established in that relationship like that. Okay, so I have already sufficiently summarized. So I the last theme was a final recap, but actually I have already recapped. So I will not do that. So I will pause here, and if there are any quick comments, questions, then we can take. So sorry for going over time. If there are any quick comments, questions, we can take. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a wonderful class, Prabhu. You gave very real, wonderful examples. You explained, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. If anybody have any questions or realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranav. Very, very beautiful, beautiful class. Such a nice examples. You have connected with many verses. It was so nice when you are telling about the Rasgulla and the grass and the cow example. I was thinking, you know, why don't we, like, I myself was thinking, like, yes, I have that kind of cravings all the time, but why don't I crave? Okay, now it's starting a book. As soon as I see the class started, wow, now what's the verse next going to be spoken by Prabhuji, or, you know, what is next, you know, what is the next going to happen in Bhagavata? That kind of, you know, that kind of taste is not there in me. So you said that, you know, when you see the samosa itself, you smell itself, by the time it comes into the plate, you have so much of craving for it. So why not when you see Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, why don't you feel that? So really, I am feeling that, you know, I should have that kind of taste. It is so connecting, Prabhuji. Why did Krishna is not giving us this, Prabhuji? I don't know. I still, if Krishna gave that kind of intelligence, as soon as we see this, you know, you have to eat it. But why not Krishna is giving that kind of taste, even though we are following so much? I mean, I'm not saying I'm following so much, but we are trying. But why are you not seeing that taste in us, Prabhuji?
Because if you see, we have invested millions of lifetimes in establishing a relationship with things of this world. But compared to that, this is probably the first or second lifetime in which we have invested in establishing a relationship with Krishna. And already you have so much eagerness to want to feel so eager when it comes to things or people or objects connected to Krishna. So it's just going to be a question of time Krishna seeing the, so there is a process, huh? That kintvadarad anudinam kalusaiva jushta swadvi kramad bhavati syat krishnanam charitadi sitapya vidya piktopatapta rasanasya narochikan. So because our tongue is tongue and other senses are coated with thick layers of conditionings which we have accumulated over many many lifetimes, it will take some time for us to develop taste. But if we adarad anudinam, with great respect, regularity and regulation, like you all do, you know, come together for japa in the morning, come together for morning program, Bhagavatam class, and then later you have Chaitanya Charitamrita reading. So this is what is called as adarad anudinam, regular, regulated and respectful. And gradually over a period of time, you will realize within this lifetime that we have developed that unprecedented intense attraction to all the objects, places and people connected to Krishna, which is already, I am sure you must be having, at least people connected with Krishna. I am sure most of the time during the day, you must be interacting with devotees only. So which means already you have that case. So it's just a question of time. Compared to the millions of lifetimes that we have invested in establishing a relationship with things of this world, we have hardly given Krishna a reasonable chance. So, but still Krishna is very eager to give us that taste. Just that few more years of nice, respectful, regulated and regular, engagement in devotional activities will definitely give us that taste.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for your answer. Yes, Prabhu, as you said, we have spent many, many lifetimes in the material sense gratification. We just started our tiny baby steps. There is a long way to go. And as you said, the time gives us that taste. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your beautiful answer. It's really and very, very beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanmat Pranam. Very nice lecture, Prabhuji. My question was that you said about dhyana yogis and jnana yogis, astanga yogis, that they do not get liberation because dhyana, jnana and they are not above the three modes. But we do hear that dhyana yogis and all, they go back
I
to
don't,
the...
Probably I just want to clarify, because before you build upon it, I didn't exactly say that. I said that jnana yogis, dhyana yogis, they don't achieve liberation if they don't give up finally the practice of jnana, dhyana, etc. and retain only the practices of bhakti. But of course, we do know that jnana yogis, dhyana yogis do attain impersonal liberation. But the point that I was trying to make was not before they give up those practices. Only after they give up those practices and accept only the path of bhakti, only at that time they actually attain liberation. That's what I meant.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yeah, that was what I wanted to know. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Dhanmat Pranam.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for a very nice lecture. It was really, really hit home to me, because I have been guilty of looking at different distractions and not wanting to have disruption. So the morning program, yes, it's very, very good for me, but sometimes, because I have some smaller children sometime here in the morning, I'm not allowed, I don't have the I can't have the speaker on, and it bothered me for a long time until I spoke with one of the Matajis, and she said, that's okay, just it's okay, at least they'll do it, because I want to give them distractions, but then I don't want them to get set in that mode of Maya and have, you know, desire to have those distractions. So all of these illustrations that you gave throughout the session was so interesting, and it really makes me hit home. It makes me really examine myself, so have more desires for the good bhakti desires, not the maya. Don't even introduce the children to these bad desires, just to get them away or have them. And just all of the examples you gave, I really enjoy the lectures when they're illustrated. So nice. So nice. Thank you so much for this lecture. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a well-explained lecture and whole recap of this entire week of teachings which we were having. So, Prabhuji, I have a question on the thing which you mentioned about the five levels of ignorance. So, in that, the first level is, you said that our material desires. And the fifth level is the contemplation, constant contemplation on the rag and dvesha. So if I see myself, that now we understand that the first level can be killed only by bhakti, because unless you kill that root of material desire, then all these other four things will continue to keep growing. So at one level, by practicing bhakti, we are working on that first level, like taking care of that avidya level. So now my question is that how to take care of that fifth level, because ultimately we are kind of in both, right? At current stage, we are in that both stage. And the more we into that fifth stage, the more our effort towards killing the first stage kind of neutralize or nullifies. So is there any tips you or anything you can share, like how to get rid of that fifth one? Because it keeps on coming, because as you said, that consciously or unconsciously, because of our material impressions, we keep on contemplating those rag and dveshas all the time.
Yeah. Actually, in my understanding, the food for thought for the mind comes through the agency of senses. So therefore, Krishna talks in Bhagavad Gita, Indriyani Manobuddhir Asyadishtana Muchate. He says that there are three places where the lust resides: senses, mind, and intelligence, he says. He says that of the three, you have to start with the senses. Tasmatvam Indriyanyado Niyamya Vartarishabha. So first, we have to keep engaging the senses in various favorable things. If we don't engage the senses, it is not possible to stop contemplation of the mind, because the food for the mind comes through the senses. We can't think of mind control if senses are constantly engaged in sense gratification. So we think that let my senses roam around in sense gratification, let my mind think about Krishna. It can never happen. It's just like if you have a house and there is a big cyclone and there are lot of dust is getting blown into the house. You know, you have three windows and a door. All three windows are open, the door is open. Through all of them, dust is coming inside. So if you want to clean the room, what you will do, it's not that you will first take up a broom and start sweeping. Because while you are sweeping, more fresh dust will start coming through the windows and door. So first we will go to try and close the windows and door. Once all the windows and doors are closed, then it becomes very easy to sweep the remaining dust. So while we are allowing bhakti to work on the existing desires, we have to ensure that our senses are consciously kept away from the triggers which may trigger our material desires. And for that, we need favorable engagements, either in our professional engagements or when your profession allows, then engage them in direct Krishna conscious engagements. Or sometimes we may even be performing mechanical professional engagements during which we can afford to hear a lecture or something like that. So that when the senses are constantly getting Krishna conscious impressions, mm-hmm. then the mind, the nature of the mind is that it will not take the trouble to go below the surface. Generally, they will keep stay on the surface only, surface impressions. So all we need to do is to do surface impression management, right? The surface impressions are managed by constantly giving favorable Krishna conscious engagement to the senses. Then the mind will keep sitting on the surface impressions only most of the times. Very rarely some deep-rooted impressions it will go and access like that.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Like this point, it's actually hit me because in my practical experience, I can see that like most of the time, last 24 or 48 hours, things are mostly prominent in our mind. And if as you said, that if we continuously make effort to keep ourselves engaged in Krishna conscious activity, then even if those impression comes back, those will be favorable impressions. So that way we can overcome this. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was very helpful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam Prabhu. Thank you very much. Wonderful, wonderful class and very detailed explanation. And one question I have, Prabhuji, this one, you said Jnana Yogi gives up Jnana, right? Uh-huh. He's now Bhakti has some pores, right? He has to fill up those pores. So what is the difference between jnana that you are talking about here and reading the scriptures, Prabhu? Because that is, you know, from there also we are getting jnana, right? Right, Prabhu? So
there are two types of jnana. One is that jnana which covers bhakti and that jnana which does not cover bhakti, which enhances one's bhakti. So studying Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, these are very much limbs of devotional service. You don't call them jnana, they are bhakti only. So, when we talk about jnana, that is the kind of jnana which pushes one towards the impersonal liberation. So they are from the, for jnana, there is jnana shastras. For yoga, there are yoga shastras. For achieving, progressing on the path of karma, there are dharma shastras. But for bhakti, there are bhakti shastras. So bhakti shastras are not called as jnana. This is divya jnana. Divya jnana hriday prakashito, like we sing during Guru Puja. So this is transcendental knowledge, knowledge which brings us closer to Krishna, knowledge which enhances our devotion, knowledge which helps us establish a deep, satisfying relationship with Krishna. So that is very much a limb of bhakti and it is not just jnana. So jnana there refers to the jnana which the impersonal school practices, that knowledge which mainly focuses on the impersonal aspect of the absolute truth, like that.
Can you give an example, Prabhu, in that? Can we say example, understanding the difference between body and soul is jnana which comes under?
See, so this jnana is basic sambandha jnana, right?
Okay.
We understand that we are not this body, we are the soul, but that is not our constant meditation. That is not our abhideya. Our abhideya means our practice is not meditating on we are not the body, we are the soul. We understand that we are not this body, we are the soul, but we meditate on how I can chant nicely for Krishna's pleasure, how I can meditate on the form of Krishna, how I can meditate on these various points which I have heard in the Bhagavatam class. That is what we meditate upon. We don't meditate upon I am not this body, I am the soul, even though we know about it. But the jnanis, for them it is an active part of their practice only. That which is just sambandha jnana for us, it is a very active part of abhideya for them. They meditate on this aspect,
Okay. So like karma yoga, Prabhupada translates as bhakti yoga. When we do our activities for the Supreme Lord, it is becoming bhakti. Similarly, any jnana that takes us closer to Krishna, again is bhakti, right, Prabhu?
Yeah.
That doesn't count under,
But ideally, it should be recommended in the bhakti shastras. Okay. Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhagavad Gita, like that.
Okay. So one more question, Prabhu, on the same point, sometimes I get confused. When we talk about these impersonal Brahma yogis, right? What do they do, Prabhu, like to keep them active or to for them to stay connected in the, their path? Like what scriptures?
Actually, this is described in the third canto, 27th chapter, Kapila Dev's instructions to Mother Devahuti. In that, he talks about the various limbs they practice. They practice definitely meditation, reflecting and meditating on the Jnana Shastras, like Upanishads, like that. That is one very important this thing. And their practice includes some limbs of Ashtanga Yoga also, where they perform certain meditation techniques. They perform from the Ashtanga Yoga school also. And at the same time, they do perform some deity worship also, which belongs to the school of devotion. So there are some limbs of devotional service, some limbs of Ashtanga Yoga, but the predominant limbs are reflecting on the various statements from the Jnana Shastras, like the Upanishads, like that. That is their primary purpose.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Very, very wonderful, wonderful class, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam.
Does anybody have any more questions for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Srila Radha Gopinath Jai. Prabhuji, all the examples are very practical, and thank you very much for your deep devotional class for graha, especially for us grahastha. Hari Hari Gauranga, that how much patience we have in grahastha life. It is more hard than brahmachari life. Hari Hari Gauranga.
No, Mataji, that's just your every ashram, they have their unique challenges, so it's not but of course we do appreciate the kind of austerities that you undergo. It's very difficult for us to imagine. And at the same time, there are certain unique challenges which are there, which we also have to go through. So ultimately, material world, the nature of
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
I think Prabhuji's internet connection actually is slow, Mataji. You can wait for a couple of minutes also.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yeah,
I think
can you hear me?
Yeah, actually, you know, if Prabhuji has dropped off. Yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, the dot pranam. Can you hear me?
Oh no.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Goshta Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very nice presentation, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. We explain everything. Thank you. Yeah. We can end now. Vardhana Mataji, are you there?
Yes. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a very enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you, and we look forward for your association again and again in the future, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Let us pay obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha Kalpatarubhyasha, Krupa Sindhu Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhuji Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.